Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, I Have Abandonment Issues.
My Asa asked for a little bit of time this morning before I would speak to you, and so I said, sure. And he wants to share something that the Lord has placed on his heart.
Good morning, everyone. So first of all, last week I was in this like sports camp at my school, and I learned a few things from it that I think will apply to our lives and help us as we go through our lives. So, say 8 people were playing dodgeball and all of them got out except one. That one, in a way, revived them. And that just made me think about how God saved us by sending Jesus to die on the cross. So now I'm about to read a verse in the Bible that talks about Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. He asked me, y'all, one day we were riding in the car, and he gave me that breakdown about dodgeball. They were playing dodgeball at his camp, and it looked like so much fun. Y'all remember when we played dodgeball, grown people? And I actually wanted to jump in with the kids, but I refrained. Thank you, honey. Okay. So we'll start with Acts chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 4 in that chapter. I think what I'll do, instead of just announcing all of the different chapters we're going to go through, we'll just go through them together, and I'll read and then tell you where to go next, okay? All right. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now let's flip over to chapter 5. We'll scroll. And we'll read verses 12 through 23 in this chapter. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Okay, now let's go over to chapter 12. And in this chapter, we will read verses 1 through 10. Okay, verses 1 through 10. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So apostles are dying. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord by itself. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Last leg of the scripture journey, Acts 16, verses 16 through 30. Okay, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, okay, she got on his nerves, turned, and that's okay, people of God, you understand? Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes, humiliated them, you guys, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Okay. So that was a little, you know, train ride through the book of Acts. And I kind of just want to go back and recap a little bit. So around chapter 4, this was the first persecution. You know, Jesus had, as my son taught, had died, had risen, and had ascended to heaven and gave his disciples a charge. And so they're here, and they're starting to be persecuted. Peter and John are jailed. They're exercising their authority because of how close they have walked, how closely they have walked with Jesus. They've selected another disciple. Remember Judas, Matthias, they pulled him on in. And they've been healing. They healed a lame man at the gate in chapter 3. When they're jailed, they're detained overnight. They're brought before the religious rulers, the elders, the magistrates, the high priests. And they were threatened and released in chapter 4. They told them, these religious rulers said, "Hey, you can't do this. You can't preach Jesus." And they said, "Well, sir, that may be that to you, but not to us." And I want to make a special note that the council itself released Peter and John from prison. They let them go after they threatened and severely warned them about preaching the gospel. Just to highlight the Apostle Peter, he is the most prominent individual in the opening chapters of Acts. In some respects, Peter was like an ice-breaking ship. If you would liken him to great ships that work where harbors and waterways freeze over and become impassable, they have enormously powerful engines and great wedges in the bow that drive into ice and break it up, these ships that we're likening Peter to, the Apostle Peter to. And they allow, after that breaking up of the ice, they allow other vessels to follow the newly opened passage. And in the same way, Peter was the strong servant of God whose work made possible so many other people's success in ministry. His calling was to take on hard things and break up the opposition so that other people could follow him. He was among the first of the disciples to follow Christ. He preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, the descension of the Spirit upon God's people, explaining how the Spirit was baptizing believers into a living fellowship. Along with the other apostles, he led in the early experience of being opposed or persecuted, hated, jailed. He laid hands on the first converts in Samaria. He was the door through which God invited Gentiles to join the church of Christ without having to first become Jews. Peter's great gifts and strengths and calling helped other people in many ways in the first days of the church. Okay, now, around chapter 5, this is the second persecution. Peter and the other apostles, Peter again, and other apostles are jailed. A husband and wife couple named Ananias and Sapphira, they lie to the apostle, and they end up dropping dead. This was where the Bible talks about how the believers, the apostles and the believers were unified, and they were selling their goods and they were selling their things for the greater good of the group. For the prosperity of the group. And Ananias had his own land to sell, but decided, try to sound important, and I'm going to lie about the price for which I sold this land, or I'm going to lie about what I'm presenting to the apostles. And Peter knows, because God is in him, and he basically said, what did you even do this for? You know the people sometimes that you wonder, why are they doing what they're doing? It's not even necessary. It's not even called for. So Peter says, why are you lying? You're not even lying to me. You're lying to God. And then Ananias died. And then the Bible says there was about like a span of 3 hours. And unbeknownst to the fact that Her husband lied and is now dead. Sapphira comes and lies in the same way. And Peter tells her, you know, he breaks the news. Well, honey, unfortunately, you're about to be carried out by the same people who carried out your husband. He lied and you lied. So those kinds of things happen, and people are, and that strikes fear. I believe holy fear, though, because these people are observing the power of God in these regular men. So the apostles are continuing to heal sick people. Numbers are continuing to be added to the church. And again, the religious council is indignant at what is going on at this stirring of the pot that these people of God are doing. Now, they are jailed again, but this time an angel of the Lord releases them. First time, the council released them. This time, the second time, the angel of the Lord releases them and instructs them to get out and keep on going and keep on preaching. It's not popular, but keep on doing it. So they do it. They're reminded again by the council, hey, we told you before, don't do this. And the apostles say, hey, we told you before, we gonna do it. Right? And this time, it says that they were thoroughly beaten, commanded to silence, and released. And then get this, the apostles left rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, in verse 41 in chapter 5. And then they went back to daily teaching, what they were teaching before. Yeah, talk about boldness, right? Mm-hmm. Now, around chapter 12, you know, we've skipped some chapters, we've skipped some persecutions. This is the fifth persecution, and Peter, again, is jailed. Also, the apostle Paul comes on the scene. He's gone from Saul, the persecutor of the church, to apostle of God. This is, you know, the road to Damascus situation happens around chapter 9. So, back to Peter. He's sent to prison by Herod the king. Herod gets a rise out of making God's people suffer. He has already had James killed. And he has four squads of prison guards to watch over Peter in prison this time. Peter is sleeping between two of them while chained. There are guards at the door. But an angel of the Lord appears beside him, strikes him on the side and tells him to get up. So he has some instructions for him to follow again. At the speaking of the angel, the chains fall off. So the angel, I interpret it this way. God is showing Peter, look at what I'm doing on my end. Now you do what I tell you to do on your end. So he tells him to get his stuff on, get dressed, put in some effort to follow me to get out of here. And then the Bible talks about how Peter didn't even realize, you know, if this was reality or a dream or something. And that's quite interesting because the longer I've walked with the Lord, I start to ask myself, is this really happening? Am I really here? Is this really my situation right now? But I guess that's a good thing because that shows that he believes I'm ready for more, where I have to ask him the question, Lord, is this really real? All right, so there's that. Then in chapter 16, this one features, like this is a movie, but the Apostle Paul and Silas are jailed in chapter 16. By this time, Paul has started his missionary journeys. Paul and Barnabas, with whom he was walking prior to around chapters 15 or 16, have decided to part ways because they couldn't agree on who should go with them on their further travels. So Barnabas goes his way. Paul takes up Silas, and then they go their way, preaching both to Jews and Gentiles, experiencing reception and opposition from both groups of people. Paul is stoned and survives. And, you know, oftentimes we read over these words very quickly, But the magnitude behind those words is something else. He's stoned, like people are throwing stones at him. This is the very way that Stephen died. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, lives through this. Now, on Paul's second missionary journey, he casts out a demon from the girl that was getting on his nerves. And her owners get mad because she's their source to profit. So they have Paul and Silas taken into the marketplace to be dealt with by the magistrates. Paul and Silas are stripped, beaten, and jailed, secured in the prison, having their feet fastened in stocks. And so it kind of seems like the ante is upped as we go through these jailings and these persecutions. And about midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and praising God, not just because they're in the situation. They were doing that already. But it's this seamless garment of prayer, praise, worship that never ends in the life of an apostle, in the life of a disciple. Their connectivity to God never breaks. They never disengage, never disengaged from God, regardless of where they were, in comfort or chaos. And while they're doing what they do, there are other prisoners who are listening in and watching them. And then an earthquake. That word has a lot of letters, but it has a lot of magnitude too. An earthquake. Like the ground breaks and shakes, that kind of thing. And not only are Paul and Silas freed, but so are all the other prisoners who were there and who were listening in and who were watching them and who were observing these crazy, wacky people of the Lord. This not only freed the other prisoners who were in physical chains, but it shook the jailer who was about to take himself out because he knew that because it appeared that he slept on his post, they won't kill him anyway. So he just thought he would do them the favor. But it shook him awake from his own prison of sleep and made him see the power of the God behind the high stakes that Paul and Silas were participants in. And so at this point, because of Paul and Silas's reckless abandonment of themselves and their obedience to the Holy Spirit, this jailer is ready to abandon his own way of life as he knows it, after Paul stops him from ending it. So that says to me that people need to see us trust God when the stakes are high. And how do we get there? We trust God when the stakes are not high in everyday, regular life. I'm reading a wonderful book by Dr. Tony Evans called Kingdom Disciples, Heaven's Representatives on Earth. And in this book, Dr. Evans writes, there is a direct correlation between the kingdom, discipleship, and the exercise of authority. The greater and deeper the discipleship, the greater the access to kingdom authority. The lower the degree of discipleship, the lower the experience of kingdom authority. Jesus does not share his rule with all believers equally, for he knows what is in our heart. If we are not trustworthy, our authority will be limited. And the scripture that Dr. Evans tethered to that piece from his book is from John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And I would like to read that in the Amplified version for you, if I may. Quickly, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem, at the Passover feast, many believed in his name, identifying themselves with him, after seeing his signs, attesting miracles, which he was doing. But Jesus, for his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and understood the superficiality and fickleness of human nature. And he did not need anyone to testify concerning man and human nature, for he himself knew what was in man, in their hearts, in the very core of their being. So to me, this is saying that Jesus knew well the abandonment issues that men carried. He divinely knew this as God and experienced being on the brink of them as a man. So I would like to drop the title at this moment, and this whole lesson so far has been about and will continue to be about I have abandonment issues. To define the word abandon, it means to give up completely a course of action, a practice, or a way of thinking, to forsake, to relinquish, to renounce, to disown, to disavow, to discard. Now, for, the cooler people in here, the younger people, I don't know. This is just another way to say abandon. It means to give something or someone the axe, to drop something or somebody like a bad habit, to cut somebody off, to 86 somebody, to dump, to scrap, to trash. Abandon. Yeah, 86 is kind of back in the day. That's not really hip today. You never heard it? Anybody heard 80? Okay. All right. So what of it? The commonality that the men, the apostles in our text today, with every piece of scripture that we read today through those 41 verses, we find that they got in some kind of major trouble together. Yes? Okay. And they certainly didn't do what they did because it was popular or the new craze, right? They were doing what they did because they had a charge from Christ and they had had a relationship with him. And they had his spirit in them. They did it out of convicted and changed hearts, out of the dopest relationships with God ever. They underwent circumstances and experiences that convinced them that they were not the bosses of their own journeys. They sacrificed themselves for certainly the highest call one can answer. They endured ridicule, ties needing to be severed, demonic taunting, physical injury, and murder of those close to them. However, they kept to the task and the call. They chose to not bow out or run from their journeys. In this, we can certainly see that they chose to deny themselves and what human inclination might advise. They disowned their will and forsook their human reasoning through it all. They cut off prolonged doubt at the pass and dumped it through faith. They abandoned their doubt through faith. They renounced what they'd known prior to knowing Jesus in order to live lives of reckless abandon for his sake. This is definitely to be applauded, but if we stop at applauding, we are simply onlookers of a major attraction. Yet we are continuing down a road of perceived revelation without change. So let's go deeper. Let's talk change. Let's study abandonment and make it our issue in the way that will change the trajectory of our own lives, okay?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.